Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for being here, for tuning in, and for always showing up. Today's episode is about time, relationships, and investments. I sat down with Mary D'Souza, who is the Chief Investment Officer at Misha Investments. And Mary is somebody who has built a career around investing and capital markets. She spent years in private credit, equity, real estate, funds, commercial, and investment banking. And Mary talked about what it takes to build relationships when you want to move forward with an investment, the mentoring, the sponsoring, trust that goes into anything that you want to build. She also shared what it means to be financially free, to find that freedom, and most of all, to be happy and not to let things that you can't control weigh you down. I could go on and on about Mary, but I think it's time you tune in to hear her story and the advice that she shares. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, Mary. Welcome to Women Worldwide.
Hi, Deirdre. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Let's just dive in. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself and really how you got into a career in investing in capital markets.
Thanks, Deirdre. I'm the CIO of Misha Investments. It's a single family office, CFO of an animal healthcare company. And I'm on several boards. I'm on the board of Star Mountain Capital, which is a credit fund. On the board of Community Access, which takes care of mental health, homelessness, job skilling, and provides low-income housing. It's a charity that I'm very passionate about. And Working Nation, I'm on the executive committee, and it focuses on upskilling as well as green jobs. And you can see that there's a theme over there.
Well, yeah, you are certainly managing a lot of different roles, which is so impressive. And Mary, every single role that you have, and I'm sure everything that you've done in your career, is based on relationships and trust. So how do you do that? How throughout your career have you been building trust in relationships?
So when I started out, the most important thing for me was to live the best life ever. And in order to do that, you have to surround yourself with the best people ever. And I choose people based on their values, because I believe that if they don't have the same values as you or the right values, you're wasting your time. And in terms of my jobs, whether I was at Dresdner Clement Benson or at GE Capital, working in capital markets, the first thing I did was get to know people within the organization, see what drove them, what they were looking for from me. In terms of investors, I got to know them. I spoke to them first, got to know them, took them for coffee, took them for lunch or dinner or drinks, and really learned about them before I pitched them a deal, because I didn't want to show them something that didn't fit their criteria. So at the end of the day, in order to be successful, you really have to know your audience. If you're working with companies, you really have to know the company really well and be able to provide value in terms of, you know, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. So right from the beginning, it was about relationship building and doing research and really learning about people and things.
I think that's so important. You mentioned values. And I remember reading in Ray Dalio's book, Principles, that he talked about the people who come into his organization, that values was the number one thing. Yes, there were skills and other ways that they were evaluating people, but it was all about values. And I think that alignment is so important because it takes you to the next step in a relationship.
Right. And, you know, you don't end up being disappointed, right? I mean, if you build a relationship with similar people with similar values, you have less disappointments, whether it is on the job front or the personal front. And that's why I think it's really important to get to know the other person before you build a relationship with them.
Yeah, I agree. And it's all when you make that choice to further the relationship, that's really what it is. It's choice and time. And when you make the choice, that you only have a certain amount of time. So is that something that you also consider when you're building and carving out different relationships?
Time is the most valuable gift you can have. And I believe that in order to meet you have to have certain goals in your life. You have to have your short-term goal, your mid-term goal, and your long-term goal. And in order to fulfill that, you have to have the job skill set. So you keep constantly learning. You keep upskilling your skill set. You build relationships. And you find, you know, the right mentors, the sponsors, the advocates who can take you forward.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think it's really important that any young professional, especially in business today, has a mentor, a sponsor. But first, can you define the difference between the two, just so everybody out there, because I think a mentor definitely helps you, but a sponsor helps to promote you. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. I mean, a mentor is somebody you can reach out to and who can help you along the way, whether it's your career or your life. And it could be both. You have to respect your mentor's time too. So you have to do your work before you reach out to your mentor. And you have to remember to tell them that you appreciate them from time to time. You know, I feel really bad that it took a long time for me to tell somebody who made a difference in my life that I really appreciated them. And then when I was thinking of who made a big difference in my life and I wanted to reach out to the person was already gone. So, so it's always important to let people know sooner than later.
Sometimes we don't think about that, Mary.
Right.
We're so, I don't want to use the word busy, but life gets hectic and people do incredible things for us all of the time. And if you miss the moment to truly thank them, if you go back, they might not be there. I'm glad that you shared that, because that's an important point for anybody who's listening. I want to ask you a question, and I know we've chatted before. The choice of time and where we spend our time and who the people we surround ourselves with comes down to sometimes a one little word, no, right? Because I'm sure when I hear all of the roles that you're playing, and I know you're actively involved in networking, we're going to talk about that. When did you learn to say no, to know when to say yes and when to say no?
I think it's really important. I think you save not only your time, but you save the other person's time. If it's something that you realize after a period of time that you can't be helpful to the other person, you're better off saying no and saying, like, I don't think I can add any more value to you. I've done whatever I could. And you need to look at this, this, and this. And then you're actually adding value to that person, rather than just saying yes to everything. It's not only to your benefit, it's also to the other person's benefit to know when it's not worth continuing further.
That makes a lot of sense. Let's pivot to networking, because I think you've been doing some serious networking lately. So are the networking opportunities around the interests and the things that you're keeping your eye on as an investor or a business professional?
So I believe in pivoting. I started out my career, we were going to touch on capital markets. And I started my career in structured finance and venture capital, in cross-border securitizations, in private placements, private equity, when it was sexy at the onset. And I researched it, but I was also able to drive some of the things forward and add value. I did that for 5 years at Dresner Glanville Benson, both in the US and in Europe. And it was really important to get to know not only the US markets, but the international markets. Because whatever you learn helps you to move forward and you can use it in your next phase of life. After spending 5 years at Dresner Glanville Benson, I moved to GE Capital. I built the junior capital business over there, and it was fun to do capital markets, to help companies. I helped a company like RadNet in terms of reorganizing the capital structure and raising capital. And it went from a penny stock to a $10 stock in 6 months and was able to get on the NASDAQ.
Wow, that's great.
That gives you such great joy to be able to affect something, to create value. I did a $2 billion bankruptcy financing for Delta Airlines. That's something I will always be happy about because, you know, I mean, who gets the chance to do that?
Right, exactly.
So yeah, during my career on Wall Street, I did about $15 billion of volume and 150 deals. And the reason I was able to do that was because I spent a lot of time networking, getting to know people, getting to know who the right audience was. The worst thing you can do with your time is to chase after investors or industries or sectors where you can't affect anything. You can't get a deal done, or you're barking up the wrong tree, right, or you're talking to the wrong audience.
Well, is there anything now that you're keeping on your radar? Or it's almost as if you see these new technologies, you see cryptocurrency, NFTs. Is it already too late, or is that something that people can jump into? I don't know if you can comment on that. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there saying, yes, please comment.
Really an exciting time. I mean, people talk about the great resignation, you know, older people leaving the workforce and younger people not getting in. And so there's a shortage of work. But I meet a lot of young people who are so excited. They are into crypto, they're into Web3, they are into impact investing, into ag tech, into health tech, into climate tech. So a number of them go to universities and decide they're going to do things for themselves. And it's not as hard today as it was in the past because you have so many resources. You can go on YouTube, you can go on TikTok. I'm just kidding. But, you know, there are a lot of newsletters, there are plenty of places to get information to learn. You know, I mean, you want to learn about crypto or Web3, you can easily go on YouTube and find a video that educates you on that. You want to learn about Bitcoin, you can find a white paper. So it's really, really different today. And a number of people learn from all the different resources that are available, more than they work from going to university. But sometimes I tell people it's worth at least spending a year or 2 years at corporations.
Yeah.
Because you get to work with other people. You get to see how things are done. You get to see what you should do. And more importantly, what you shouldn't do. I always tell people, you don't have to make mistakes. You can learn from other people's mistakes.
Exactly.
And yeah, and I think it's a really exciting time. I mean, I was at the NFT conference. I spoke on mentoring at NFT and NFT VIP, NFC VIP. So yes, there are a number of new companies coming out of Web3. So it's not just coins and tokens, it's blockchain. And, you know, it's like the internet in 1999, 2000. There will be a number of really interesting things coming out of this. So it's not just Bitcoin or Solana or Cardano or, you know, various coins. It is, you know, about making investing democratic. A lot of young people want to be able to tokenize stuff. and be able to provide access to real estate to the retail investor. Because right now, private equity and real estate is only available to the ultra rich. So there are a lot of young people who want to make it available to the retail investor through tokenization or some other form of security.
Well, that is really exciting. This sparks something that I'm reading in the book Abundance. And let me see. Oh, I have a copy right here. So this is a shout out to the authors, Peter Diamandis and Stephen Kotler. They talk about the techno philanthropists, and they compared them to the magnates in the Gilded Age, the Rockefellers, the Henry Ford, to Andrew Carnegie. And the difference now is that those folks used to invest their money, and it would be more localized. There would be libraries popping up all over New York City. And today, with the techno philanthropists and this impact investing, it's so global. And we're so much more connected. And that alone is just really exciting. So I don't know if you haven't read Abundance, it's a really good book. And I think the authors are brilliant. Was there ever a time that you had a big learning moment, that moment of an aha or an uh-oh moment?
The aha moment for me, two moments. One is I was sitting with my financial advisor and I realized that I was financially independent. And I realized that I had the means to do whatever I wanted to do, and I just didn't need to do a job for the sake of doing a job. And that gives you so much freedom. Yeah. And then the other aha moment was, you really don't have to stress out on things that are beyond your control. Mm. You have to focus on things within your control. And that helps you focus, because then you're not worrying about things that you can't control or people you can't control, because you can only influence somebody, but you can't determine what their action or their reaction is going to be.
I think every young person should learn this, because there's so much stress in the external world and we can't control it. There's always things that are going to happen. And if you let those stresses get to your core, you're not going to find the freedom and those moments of, oh, this feels really great. Because you're right, you can only control yourself. But somehow we're seeing more stress rather than that, well, I can't control it. I'm just gonna move forward and do my thing. Do you see that?
Not in my life. In my life, I've decided that I'm just going to focus on things that I can do.
Good.
And not worry about things that somebody else has to do for me or things like that. So I just focus on things that are within my control, and that makes me happy and it relieves stress. There are a whole lot of things you can't control: the weather, the market.
Right.
People dying, giving birth, whatever.
It's going to happen no matter what.
Exactly.
Right? It's just going to happen. Well, exactly. For all the younger professionals and for anybody who's been around the block, it's time to just be able to breathe a little bit more and say, I know myself and I can move forward feeling good about myself and make choices that suit each and every one of us.
That's absolutely true. It's totally true. And I always tell people, you have to play the long game.
Mm.
You cannot play the short game. So if you're building a company, you have to have clear focus and clear goals.
Yes, that's true. It's the big picture. And there's lots of little moments that will happen in between that we just need to let go, pass on. It's okay. Move forward. I like that. I feel like somebody wrote a book, The Long Game, recently. I have to Google it. I wish I had that in my memory. Well,
That's always from childhood. Play the long game.
Yes, exactly. So if there was some advice that you wanted to give to your younger self, I'm going to ask you to give advice in a second to the Women Worldwide audience. But if you could give advice to your younger self, what would you say?
Don't be so hard on yourself. Don't beat yourself up that much. You have to be kind to yourself, because a lot of us are so tough on ourselves. You know, we want to be super successful. We want to be super everything. I think you have to be patient with yourself. And right from a very early age, you have to find people who are advocates, who are going to be really good friends, who are going to be there to watch your back, to pick you up. You know, it's mutual. You pick them up, they pick you up. So it's really, really important, especially in the corporate world where, you know, you can't find that many friends internally. You have to look for them externally because you're competing with each other in the corporate world most of the time. So I tell people that if they have issues, problems, it's better to have a mentor outside of the company to speak to, so it doesn't, and somebody outside of the industry.
Right.
Somebody who can really listen to you and help you think through your problems. They don't have to give you solutions. They just have to be there to hear you out and help you think through it.
Well, I think that's great.
Yeah, and I try to be there for some of the younger women.
Oh, that is so good. Well, Mary, maybe just a little bit of parting advice for the Women Worldwide audience about investing or relationships or how we can all collaborate better.
I say start early. Start investing early. You can put a little bit of money into an ETF, you know, like something like a VT or SPY or RSP, which is the total market. And in the long term, it all works out. In the short term, you know, you're going to see like a 20% draw, or, you know, in a year like last year or the year before, you see a 20%, you know, return. But in the long term, if you look at all of this, it all works out. So just put a little bit of money every month into your investing account and invest. You know, don't look at it from day to day, because it'll give you financial freedom. The second thing I tell people is it's really important early on to buy your primary residence. Because if you own where you live, then you're not dependent on rents and get, you know, priced out and have to worry about that. So I say financial freedom is really important, and being able to do that early on, upskilling all the time. Nobody can take that away from you. Building a network, really important. Nobody can take that away from you. They can take your job away, but they can't take that away. And just be happy. Have fun. You don't have to wait till you're much older to do that. You can have it all. So, you know, there was a young girl who told me that she's going to wait till she had a relationship. And I said, no, if you find somebody tomorrow, that's the perfect partner. You don't have to wait.
Don't wait.
6 months later, she moves in with him. And I said, not that fast.
Well, I love your advice. Be happy. I mean, there was a lot of advice packed in there, but just those words really stand out. Mary, thank you so much. Where can people find out a little bit more about you? Where can they connect with you?
So on LinkedIn, and please check out Community Access. It's a really good charity. Working Nation, you know, we're working on upskilling, green jobs, and creating awareness about it. You know, Star Mountain Capital.
Yes.
You know, an investor is a very good credit fund. And I speak at a lot of different conferences.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on Women Worldwide and for sharing all of your advice with us today. So thank you.
Thank you, Deirdre.
And thank you to all of you for tuning in today. And you know what I always say, keep the conversations going and the feedback coming. You know where to find me. I am also on LinkedIn. So while you're checking out Mary, you can talk to me there. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Dee Breckenridge. And friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.